was produced at noon on February the 20th, 1990, number 9.
Next time, I want to give you these general impressions of 2 Kings. As I ordinarily do, I'll give them to you in terms of an acrostic on the words S-E-C-O-N-D-K-I-N-G-S. I better make this other announcement again, since some of you came in, I think, after I made it. That is, the Tuesday classes will go right on regularly as scheduled. But the Friday night class for March 2nd will not be held. The 2 Kings is connected with the letter S. Striking variety. Striking variety. One of the greatest illustrations of variety in God's dealings and in God's provision is the difference between Elijah and Elisha. The Elijah type of preacher is quite different from the Elisha type of preacher. But if my heart is open to the Lord, then I'm open to all the different servants of God, provided they're true to the Word of God. Now, if one preacher is not true to the Word of God, then I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about difference of gifts. Do you ever thank the Lord for other people who have gifts that you don't have? Are you envious of them? Or sometimes you just wish everybody had the same gift you have? One of my thrills in teaching through the years has been the thrill of realizing that I'm teaching students who have gifts that God hadn't given me. But He's given me the opportunity to make a contribution to them. And then they can go on and use to the full the gift which God has given them. Let me mention 3 differences between Elijah and Elisha. The first is Elijah was basically a prophet of judgment, and Elisha was basically a prophet of mercy. Now you see why this is true. It's true because Elijah was called of God to undermine the foundations of Baal worship. Elisha built on the foundation laid by Elijah. And you know, sometimes a person can seem to be more pleasant than somebody else. And he may seem to be more pleasant than somebody else because he's building on the foundation that other person has already laid. Elisha would be more of the popular type of person generally than Elijah would be. But he had to deal severely in judgment to undermine the foundations of Baal worship. Then Elisha built on that foundation, and he was used to restrain people from returning to Baal worship. A second difference between them is that Elisha was more refined. Elijah was less refined. When you tune in on the radio, sometimes you go up and down the dial to see if there's anything you can get that will be a blessing to you. And you hear some of the preachers who are rather uneducated. Some of them are preaching in a sing-songy kind of way. You just tune them out immediately because you don't like that kind of preaching. But I don't think it's wrong for a Christian to appreciate certain types of speakers more than others. I don't believe that's wrong. But if you're going to tune them out and go to something else, be sure to send up a prayer to the Lord for them. I tell you, some of these unrefined preachers who butcher the King's English, you might say, oh, I just can't stand to listen to that kind of thing. You better be sure that you're surrendered to the Lord if that's your attitude. Because we ought to be thankful that some of those so-called uneducated preachers can reach folks that we could never reach. And they can reach people that these seminary graduates could never even begin to reach for the Lord. Elijah was less refined. clothing he wore was not refined clothing. The clothing that Elisha wore was refined clothing. And that's just one difference between them. I like to think that Elijah is an old-time country preacher. I like to think that Elisha is a city preacher. But both of them have their place in God's plan. Then the third difference between them is that Elisha was the pastoral type, and Elijah was the secluded type. He just appeared on certain occasions, and then he disappeared again. I wonder if you think about the preacher, that every preacher ought to do a lot to pastoral visitation among his people. Some folks think that's just, the Bible teaches that. Everybody ought to do a lot of pastoral work, not necessarily so. Not necessarily so. Some preachers do entirely too much pastoral work. They do so much pastoral work, they don't have any time to get into the Word of God. And when they stand up and preach, it isn't the beaten oil of the sanctuary. But some preachers have built up a reputation on that. Years ago, I know there was one preacher in Columbia, I didn't even know his name. But some member of his church was talking to me. He said, you know, I hadn't been sick for just a few minutes until here he came in to see me. Somebody let him know. He just thought that was wonderful. If God leads that way, that's wonderful. Some have a special gift of that. Some don't. Some are called that way, and others aren't. See, Elijah was more the pastoral type. Elijah wasn't the pastoral type. When I think of Elijah, I think of Dr. Tozer, Christian Missionary Alliance preacher. He preached for years in Chicago, and he built a large church just around the preached word. I think he had some who did some pastoral work, but it wasn't much. One of his officers was sick one time, and Dr. Tozer came to see him. The fellow said to another, am I that sick that he came to see me? Yeah. Somebody said, he just couldn't be a good preacher to this. I know one of my professors used to say, what you ought to do is visit around and find the needs in your congregation, and then get up in the pulpit and preach the sermons of them. You have to be awful careful about some of that, and because God hasn't caused you to insult everybody publicly. And that kind of thing can be good or it can be bad. But the point is, God is a God of infinite variety. And I think you have a great illustration of that in the contrast between Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was one type of preacher. Elisha was another type. But both of them are equally used of God in his vineyard. And our hearts should be open to all the different kinds. The second general impression of 2 Kings is connected with the letter E. Evangelistic miracles. The miracles which Elijah worked were almost exclusively miracles of mercy, and they were evangelistic miracles. One thing that made them evangelistic was they were a great call to repentance. God called to repentance through the miracles of Elijah. A second thing that made them evangelistic miracles was that they were object lesson pictures of the gospel. I think one of the most thrilling stories in the Old Testament is in these opening chapters of 2 Kings. These wonderful miracles that Elisha worked were miracles, evangelistic miracles, great pictures of the gospel. One of the great illustrations of that is the healing of Naaman the Syrian. He was a great man and mighty, but he was a leper. I want to ask you preachers for a show of hands. How many of you preachers have never preached a sermon on 2 Kings chapter 5, the healing of Naaman the Syrian? Can I see your hands? You've never preached on Naaman the Syrian. How many of you have preached on Naaman the Syrian? Yeah? I just wanted to check it from both standpoints. See, that's an evangelistic miracle. My, what a tremendous miracle it is. And Elisha deals with Naaman the same way God has dealt with Elisha. God has humbled him. And then he takes this mighty general. He says, go wash in that old ditch of the Jordan. That's what it was as far as Naaman was concerned. He said, are not the waters of Abida and Pharpar far better than the waters of Jordan, and you want me to dip in that old ditch? And then he had to go down seven times. D.L. Moody preached what I thought was a wonderful sermon on that. Moody had a wonderful imagination, use of imagination. He imagined old Naaman dipping himself first in the waters of the Jordan. He came up and looked and said, I still have leprosy. Sir, the man of God said seven times. He goes down the second time. The leprosy is still there. The man of God says seven times. He goes down the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth time. He comes up the sixth time. I'm still a leper. I'm going to quit. Sir, the man of God said seven times. And he is completely humbled. He is humiliated. And he comes up and he's completely whole. My, what a wonderful picture of the gospel that is. Evangelistic miracle. And then the third thing that made them great miracles is, evangelistic miracles, is that some were missionary miracles. Had to do especially with leading people away from Baal worship to the worship of the true God. Earlier in the class today, I referred to that marvelous story of Elisha smiting the Syrian army with blindness. Now you see, Naaman the Syrian is a general. That's an individual on whom the miracles work. Certainly a lot of people will know about that. If it'd been an ordinary person, people all over Syria wouldn't have known about it. Here's a big shot. General Eisenhower. I like Ike. You know, that kind of thing. He was a great man with the people. And all the people will hear about it. But then, here was the Syrian army. And Elisha smote all of them with blindness. And then gave them food to eat and something to drink and opened their eyes and sent them on back home again. See, the army would scatter all over through Syria. And what message would they have? The God of Israel is a merciful God. Just I crossed my heart and hoped to die. This is what happened. I was blind, and he could have killed me. And all the other soldiers in our army were blind, and he could have killed us. But he gave us something to eat and something to drink. And here we are alive again. You see, that would just circulate all through Syria. Baal's the cruel God. Hey, I believe I'm going to listen to this message of the only living true God that Elisha's talking about. Because he's the merciful God. Missionary miracle. That's my second general impression of 2 Kings. Evangelistic miracle. And these miracles that he... Elisha worked in a special way, pictured the gospel. Then the third general impression is connected with the letter C. Christian service principle. Christian service principle. I want you to notice how many of Elisha's miracles were worked in the presence of the sons of the prophet, these Bible college students, these seminary students. And they were just filled with principles of Christian service. I remember a good many years ago at the Bible college, we were praying, and God wonderfully answered prayer and gave us the men's dormitory. Now the Historical Association of Columbia has taken over. We sold that and moved out of it a good many years ago. But we prayed and God wonderfully answered. Dr. Fleece was a member of the faculty, not the president at the time. And I remember he brought a chapel message on 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. The miracle of Elisha in causing the axe head, the iron, to swim. And kept saying, iron can't swim. But the iron did swim. Iron can't swim. But the iron did swim. God worked a miracle. Then he drew the parallel to getting the Bible College property. Because he said, did you notice, as you read the story, they were building the men's dormitory. Well, the sons of the prophet. Somebody borrowed an axe. It shows you they didn't have much money. He borrowed an axe, and the axe head came off. Alas, my master, for it was borrowed. And Dr. Fleece emphasized the fact that when that church is getting its money, there must be some clear evidence of the supernatural power of God, supernatural work of God. Brother preacher, you check yourself now in your getting money for your church. Is there clear evidence that there is something there that wouldn't come if you hadn't prayed? Say, oh, we pray, but then just act the same way any old businessman of the world would act in terms of those things. You watch how many of Elisha's miracles were worked for the benefit of these Bible College students, because he was training them in great principles of Christian church in connection with the miracles which he worked. I like to compare Elisha's training of the sons of the prophets with Jesus' training of his disciples. Elisha was training his followers to be salvation men. And the Lord Jesus was training his disciples to be salvation men. My fourth general impression is connected with the letter O. Outstanding salvation man. Put a hyphen between the word salvation and the word man. Outstanding salvation man. Every true servant of God is a salvation man. Now you know the meaning of the name Elisha. E-L is God. I is the possessive pronoun my. And S-H-A is salvation. My God is salvation. That summarizes the whole life of Elisha. What's the main thing God has for you in the life of Elisha? It's to make you a salvation man. It's to make you a salvation woman. Every true Christian woman is a salvation woman. Every true Christian man is a salvation man. Every true Christian boy is a salvation boy. Every true Christian girl is a salvation girl. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask this question when we come towards the end of the study. But I want to ask it right at the beginning. Do you really want to be a salvation man, salvation woman, a salvation girl, a salvation boy? Do you really want to be one? Now, I'm going to ask that same question when we come to the end of our study of the life. Because in great detail, we're going to emphasize the characteristics of a true salvation man or of a true salvation woman. And sometimes I think that a good life verse for Elisha would be Psalm 74, verse 12. Psalm 74, verse 12 says, yet God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. That's a wonderful life verse for Elisha. Whether he actually took a life verse or not, I don't know. Of course, remember, the book of Psalms was his hymnal. he sang these psalms as him. He may have chosen some of them as his life verse, I don't know, but Psalm 74:12 would be a wonderful life verse for him. That God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. And God longs to have me go the same way in which Elisha's going. A salvation man, salvation woman. One of my clincher verses for the life of Elisha is Psalm 106, verse 4. Psalm 106, verse 4 says, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. No. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Psalm 106, 4. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. At any time when you pray that in faith, in your experience, you're experiencing the whole life story of Elisha. That doesn't mean that God's going to use you to make the iron swim. Most commentators take the position that when it said that the iron did swim, it doesn't mean that it wiggled in the water. It floated. Iron can't float, but the iron did float by the mighty power of God. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. That's my fourth general impression of Elisha. Outstanding salvation man. Then my fifth general impression is connected with the letter N. Notorious stronghold. Notorious stronghold. One key to Elisha's ministry is that he founded these schools of the prophets and had them build the buildings right in the devil's stronghold. One of those was Jericho. You remember the last verse of 1 Kings 16 gives us the last thing that's mentioned before Elijah appeared on the scene. Hiel, the Bethelite, built Jericho. And when he laid the foundation of the city, he lost his oldest son. He kept right on in rebellion against the Lord, and then when he built the gates of the city, completing the thing, he lost his youngest son. Jericho, what kind of a city would that be? See, it was built. God said, don't build Jericho again. It's a special curse on anybody that tries to build it. But they did build it. You say, well, Elisha just decided they did that, therefore there's just no hope for them. I'm not going to pay attention to them. If they'd obeyed the Lord, I'd preach to them. No, he not only went there to minister at Jericho, but he built a building for the sons of the prophets. Bible college students were right there at Jericho. I like to compare Elisha with the Apostle Paul on his missionary journey. One key to Paul's missionary journeys is that he constantly attacked the devil's stronghold. One of those was Ephesus, where they had the temple to Diana of the Ephesians. And one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Oh, wait a minute. The Temple of Diana of the Ephesians was a very beautiful temple. And they had a huge statue of this naked goddess right out in front of the temple. And you say, well, you couldn't expect the Lord to do anything there. Paul spent three whole years in Ephesus on one of his missionary journeys. He attacked the devil's stronghold. Is there any special stronghold of the devil that you attack? You say, well, I've got my own kids, and that's enough of the devil's stronghold. Yeah, that's plenty, but that's not enough. It's plenty, but it's not enough. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us here, including the one who's teaching, we just get a new vision of attacking the devil's stronghold and expecting God to do great and mighty things. And many times in the Bible that God says, sing unto the Lord a new song. If you're going to sing a new song, you've got to have something new about which to sing. And all right, the potentialities of our group here, our group wouldn't be impressive to the people of the world in general. They expect much larger groups than that. But all folks, the potentialities of this group. If we really are God's salvation men and salvation women attacking the devil's stronghold. Another place where Elisha ministered was Bethel. Not only Jericho, but Bethel. And Bethel was the place where Jeroboam had erected the worship of the golden calf. You say, well, I'm just going to stay away from there. After all, if anybody goes to that place, he's just beyond reach. He can't be helped. Elisha didn't think that. He ministered, and he worked miracles in Jericho. And he worked miracles in Bethel. God's salvation man in the midst of idolatry. That's the story of Elisha. God's salvation man in the midst of idolatry. You know, for years, the privilege we had when I used to be a student at the Bible College and then teach at the Bible College. And that privilege has been taken away. I think one reason it's taken away was that as a school, we sort of lost interest in that. We let that thing sort of die a natural death. And then they didn't let us come back. You know, we used to have the two-state fair. They had the white fair and the colored fair, and then those were merged together, and I think there are things in favor of merging them together. But, oh, I used to get the greatest joy through ministering at the fair. And I was in charge one or two years of all the work we did at the colored fair. Oh, I want to tell you, it was just a tremendous opportunity. We had a certain picture we showed. Whether we ought to show it or not, I don't know, but we got to get a crowd, and it was really, I watched it, it took 10 minutes to show it, and I knew, I saw it over and over, because I was just waiting to preach after we got the crowd there. We had as many as 250 around that booth one time, gathered to see the picture, and then I just got right up to the microphone preach. And you just had the invitation right out there in the open tonight. Somebody said, you couldn't expect anything much of that, could you? Well, you just have to go by faith. I know one man came up to me, and he had the smell of liquor on his breath. And he said that he was from over in Marion, South Carolina, and he'd like me to come to his church. Well, I ought to check more carefully on that. But I went the next Sunday. It's about 80 miles from here, over to Marion. And nobody was waiting for me at all. I came on back home. I told my wife, well, it's worth it. At least I gave my shot. Gave the opportunity. But you know, a lot of people in Columbia opposed us to that. They thought that at the Bible College, we were making the gospel of Christ too commonplace. Went out there and giving out tracts. Preaching out at the fair. Well, I wish they'd read a little bit about church history. You know, John Wesley and Charles Wesley didn't like that either. They didn't like that. They thought it was undignified. But all the churches were closed to him. And at first, the only place for John Wesley to preach was the family graveyard. And people had heard about him. He preached away from Epworth. And he said, come on. If you want to hear me preach, come out to the graveyard. They can't drive me away from there. I own it. I own it. Come on out. They were... official name of Elijah. My God is salvation. Oh, Father, do it for me. And do it for everyone in this class, we pray. Oh, to have everyone here as God's salvation man. God's salvation man. In Jesus' name.